Hey guys, it's April. Did you know that you can leave us a voice message with your feedback or questions on our Anchor homepage and we can incorporate it directly into the podcast? Isn't that cool? Just head to anchor.fm/east2westwls, which is our Anchor homepage. Scroll down a little bit until you see the message box and then use your smartphone to leave us a message. We'd be so happy to hear from you and we're very excited to incorporate your questions into an upcoming show. Thanks for your continued support of East to West WLS.
Hi, welcome to East to West WLS, the podcast where we support the bariatric community with humor, humility, and honesty. I'm April and I'm the West.
And I'm Jason and I'm the East.
Today, we welcome back the one and only Katie. Hi, Katie.
Hello. Hello, I'm so happy to be back.
Oh, girl, we love talking to you. We love seeing your smiling face and we love how real and raw you keep it. And girl, we got some real and raw today.
Yes, we do.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so if our friends and followers do not know who you are, will you introduce yourself to them? Just give them a brief, like, what's your 30-second elevator speech? What makes Katie, Katie?
Yes, of course. So I'm Katie. I am 29. My Instagram handle is at katie.bsg. I had a vertical sleeve gastrectomy in December of 2020. So I am 6 months post-op, which is so wild. Like, it just feels like it's flying. It's so crazy. And yeah, so we are just doing a little check-in to see what life is like. We've done 3 months and now we're doing 6 months. So I'm excited to dive in.
Oh, girl, we are so excited to talk to you, right? There's a couple big things that you have been sharing on your stories, right? Good, yeah. and things that you're struggling with. So today, we're really excited just to hear about, like, okay, what has changed for you in the 6 months since surgery? And then kind of the three big areas that you find yourself working through is food guilt, addiction transfer, and then partying after weight loss surgery. And we are very excited about that because we all love to have a good time, but it's got to be a little bit different after surgery. So, okay. So those are our topics today. So like you said, should we just dive in? Should we just get to
it? Let's do it. Let's do it.
Hey, it's April with East to West WLS. I don't know about you, but after I dropped a significant amount of weight, my body just didn't feel like my own, and I needed help feeling like it was my own again. So I started receiving chiropractic care. If you live in the Tacoma area, I cannot recommend Grit City Chiro more. Dr. McKenzie is passionate about helping you feel, function, and live better. Check out her Instagram at Grit City Chiro or her website, gritcitychiropractic.com, for more info and to book your first consultation. And if you mention East to West, you'll get a discount on your first visit. I feel amazing after seeing her, and I think you will too.
Lynette! Okay, friend, first things first, give us a 6 month update. What has changed? What has shifted? What are you noticing now that you are 6 months post-op?
It is wild. So I will say, I think the last time that I talked to you guys, I was 3 months out. And I was tired. I was kind of struggling with like how I was feeling. And I'm not sure if I had had my appointment with my bariatric doctor before or after we recorded. But after seeing her, it turns out, you know, I had my labs done. Turns out that my iron was really low. And I really just needed to like kind of rework my vitamin situation, make sure that I'm getting enough of my fluids and things like that. So since then, I switched vitamins. I'm now taking the ProCare bariatric vitamin with 45 milligrams of iron. And it's great because I take it once a day before I go to bed. And I feel amazing now. Like, I feel incredible. Like, I am not struggling with any, like, energy issues. Like, I feel so great. And so I think it's so important to find a vitamin that, like, works for you. Because I had never struggled with iron before in my life. So, like, I just didn't really think I would need to. But apparently, you know, things change after bariatric surgery. So yeah, I switched vitamins. I feel great now. And I am 6 months out. I'm down about 70, 75 pounds total. I've kind of been in a little bit of a stall, as they call it, over the last probably month or so, which I, you know, it's kind of to be expected. I feel like I've had a great chunk of weight loss up until this point. And plus with like traveling and events and things like that, like it has been very difficult for me to not partake in drinking and alcohol and indulging in food. And, you know, and so like, that's kind of why I've been having some issues with food guilt, because I feel like I really want to be dedicated to my weight loss journey, but I also want to live my life and I want to be able to enjoy, you know, where I'm at and the people I'm with and all of that. And I don't want to just constantly be like so worried about, you know, what I'm eating. Like I want, like, I didn't have weight loss surgery to be on a diet for the rest of my life. Like I had it to be able to enjoy life again. And so I'm trying really hard to kind of, you know, recognize that like what I'm eating isn't, you know, fulfilling me nutritionally, but also know that like doing that a couple days out of the month or whatever, like it's not going to totally derail my progress. So like, I'm kind of, you know, working through that mentally as well. But yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at. I feel great. I definitely am not, you know, where I want to be yet, which obviously I'm only 6 months in, I've got time. But yeah, I'm trying to just enjoy the process too, you know?
Well, you and I talked about this kind of over the fourth. We had the pleasure of spending our fourth with each other.
Yes.
And we enjoyed some foods that I only make and enjoy on the 4th of July. And we had a conversation really around food guilt. And one night you looked at me and you're like, I feel so guilty for eating flag cake.
Yeah, it was a cake.
And it is the most delicious cake in the world, FYI, people.
I love it. It's so good.
Right? It's so good. And I remember you and I had this conversation. We were sitting around a table playing a game and you're like, I feel so guilty. And I was like, but we did this not to feel guilty about food, right? We did this to enjoy it in moderation and understand that one bite of cake is not going to put on 70, 80, 90, 100 pounds. If we did that every day, if that became our true diet, what we eat, then that might be an issue. But this food guilt stigma hangs so heavy in our souls, because that's how we lived before surgery. We just didn't realize it. We were constantly guilty about what we were eating, and we were just living in this shame cycle. So all of a sudden, when you step out of it for a little bit, and then you recognize that you step back into it, you're going, wait a minute, this feels different. Why do I feel guilty about this when I haven't felt guilty, you know, for eating other things? So it's a whole mindset shift.
It totally is. And like, I have like this, so something happened this weekend. I was at a bachelorette party, for those who don't know. And, you know, of course everyone's drinking, you know, we smoked some weed and it was a great time. I had a blast, but there was this one moment where we were actually on the lake and we had a pontoon boat and we had like, it was so fun. We had like six other boats link up to us. And so we were like one giant party barge boat thing. It was really fun. And we were all jumping in the river or in the lake and coming back up and getting back onto the boat. Like we have a ladder, but it was sandwiched in between all these other boats. So we had to figure out how to get up without the ladder. And like, you have to have some upper body strength to like pull yourself up. And there was this guy who was like offering to help me up. And I was like, no, I was like, I cannot, like, you will not be able to lift me. And he was so offended. And I was like, no, like I'm not digging on your masculinity. It is not that. It is my like big girl brain. It's like my mentality of like, I'm still almost 300 pounds and like, you won't be able to lift me. And he was like, it did not register with him. Like he was so pissed. And I was like, please don't be pissed. Like, I'm like, it's really not you. It is me. Like as stupid as that is to say, but like, I could not get past that. Like he probably could have lifted me up and I would have been fine. But like, I just did not trust it because I just was so in my head about how I felt. Like I was so much bigger still. And like, it is so wild. It's so hard to like, keep like, I don't know. It's like, you're seeing all these changes happen so fast, but it's like, your mind can't keep up with it. You know, like, I think that's something that we all struggle with when we have weight loss surgery. So it is
said something the other crazy. Day in the same situation. I had talked about how when I step up into certain areas, I pay extra careful attention so that I don't fall, because I know that it's going to take more people than are around me at the time to lift me back up again. And somebody looked at me and was like, "What are you talking about?" And I was like, "Oh, nothing. Don't worry about it." I'm like, "I used to be double my size, and now I'm not. So I
still
I'm 500 pounds. So don't worry about it. It's cool." Mm-hmm. But they just look at me like I stepped up into a friend of mine's pool the other day, and they have an above ground pool, so they have the ladder that gets. And I was like, "I can't get in the pool." And they were like, "Why?" And I was like, "Cause the ladder won't hold me." And they were like, "Yes, it will." And I said, no, it won't. And I was like, "I'm bigger than the ladder." And I was like, "Dude, this ladder holds 350 pounds. And I was like, "Yeah, and I'm, oh, wait. No, I used to be." But they've known me for 20 years. So they just laughed. They were like, "No, you used to not be able to get in. Now you're getting your ass in." And I was like, "Oh,
yes. Yes.
It brings up such a good point. And you said it perfectly, Katie. Our bodies are changing so rapidly that our brain cannot catch up, because we've lived as that bigger person for so long. Then when all of a sudden we're not that person, we just cannot equate it. And I had that experience last summer where we've got fun islands, and before I could not pull myself up on the fun island. And then all of a sudden I dove in the water and blah, blah, blah. And my friends were on the fun island. And I was like, "Oh, sweet." And I literally just bloop, like pulled myself right up. And I had this shocked look on my face, and my girlfriends were like, "Holy shit. Like, I can't even do that." And I was like, "Bitches, yes,
literally." Yes.
Right?
The party
is here. The back of my brain was like, "You can't do that. Like, why are you even attempting to pull yourself off the fun island?" Until you're like, oh my God. I didn't even realize how my brain was talking out of doing all of these things when I was larger, because I knew I couldn't do it, or just didn't trust myself. So you're even noticing these changes in your brain as you continue down.
It's wild.
That's some of the craziest things that you'll notice, or that I've noticed anyway, is that you'll do like your as hard as the time as your brain has catching up, it'll do it in reverse for you, just the same way with the fun island. Like, I'll dive out of chairs now and go running to do something, and I'll look back and be like, "Wait, not only did I just dive out of the chair, but I'm running too." Like, I ran to catch a door for a guy the other day that had his hands full to get it. And a dude that was sitting at another table was like, "Hey, next time don't go so fast because you beat me to the door." And I was like, "I've never been accused of going too fast for anything in my life." Like, I was like, "I've never been accused of going too fast for shit. For cake or something, a buffet or something." So it was one of those things where I just looked, I was like, "Damn, I didn't even look," because I cleared like half a restaurant and opened the door by the time this old boy could get out of his chair and move around. So I was just like, "Huh, all right then." I was like, "Well, go me."
Yes, go you. Yes.
Yes. So Katie, so 6 month stall, very common, very common. But how are you dealing with that? We all know that stalls are like the bane of our existence. So what are you doing to kind of move through your stall?
So when I got back from my trip with you guys over the 4th, and seeing Steph, I had a moment where I was like, I'm frustrated because I stepped on the scale and I knew it was going to be the same, and it was. And I said, okay, you got to give yourself some grace. And this is something I've actually been talking to my therapist about as well, because, and we're going to get into this more later, I've been talking to her about how, like, I've just been shopping a lot and spending a lot of money. And I think that has become a transfer addiction for me. And she said, well, she was like, honey, you have to also recognize that, like, you are traveling more than you have ever traveled before. Like, this is a very new thing for you. And she was like, you also are experiencing new things with your weight loss. And she said, this is going to take some learning. And she said, a lot of the money that you're spending has been for these trips. And it's the same thing with food. Like, a lot of the food I'm eating is around all of these fun things that I'm doing. And like, I kind of have to like understand and give myself grace that like, look, like, this is not like summer for me. This year is packed, like absolutely packed. And I was like feeling guilty about it. I'm like, I'm not going to be like where I want to be, but also like, I'm not going to not enjoy myself and not have a good time because I'm so worried about it. And so I honestly, I've just decided I'm going to stop weighing myself because there's no point. There's no point in me getting on there and being disappointed that I'm not seeing loss. And I'm just going to try to eat intuitively, which is what I have been doing pretty much the whole time. But I have so many events coming up. Like, I had a bachelorette party last weekend. I have another one this weekend. I was on vacation for a week over the 4th of July. And like, it's just constant activities. And I'm going to enjoy myself and know that, like, I still cannot eat the same amount that I used to before, you know, like it is still, I'm still not eating, you know, enough to where I'm going to gain weight. However, I'm drinking alcohol, which has a lot of calories. I try to do like the Trulies, the spritzers, things that aren't a super high in sugar. But I also am smoking weed and that gives me the munchies. And so like, I'm trying to be mindful and like, okay, let's have some grapes in the house. Let's have, you know, things that like, I'm not going to feel guilty about, you know, eating excessively if I do have the munchies. So
it's the whole new lease on life thing. Like, we got the second chance to do things better. So you might as well take advantage of it. But
yeah, you know, that's so true.
Having a packed calendar is not a bad thing because it keeps your mind off of doing, you know, any of the other stuff that you may have done that will lead to you actually gaining weight. But the best part about that is you know, like with a packed calendar there, you know when you're going to be doing those things. So you have the in-between times that you can prep for that, almost like a, you know, any other competition or whatever else you may be going into. You spend your whole week doing the best you can to the letter that you need to know that when you go on the weekends, things are going to get off the rails a little bit. And that's perfectly fine because you have Monday when you get back home to kind of line things back out again.
Exactly. Yep. And that's kind of what I've been doing is like, I knew, cause I literally like we got back from our trip. I had a week and then I had a bachelor party and then I have another week and I have a bachelor party. So like in those week times, like I'm trying to make sure like I'm eating things that are going to make me feel good and, you know, fill me up and be nutritional for me and that. So that way I'm not totally just like eating shit for weeks and weeks and weeks, you know? So that is also a big part of it. But yeah, I'm trying to just like knock it in my head about it. I know people freak out about stalls and they get so frustrated. And like, that's one thing, like, I get a lot of messages about people like, how do you not weigh yourself every day? Like, how do you get out of that headspace? And I'm like, honestly, I'm not looking at this like I'm on a diet, like I'm trying to lose weight. I'm looking at it as this is my new life. Like, and if I'm gonna like live my life normally, I don't weigh myself every single day. Like, it's just not something that I do. Like, and so that's kind of why I'm trying to just like have a new mindset about it. And I said this to myself from the start of like when I decided I was gonna have surgery. I said, I was like, look, these are the things I wanna focus on in this process. I am going to share my story publicly because I want other people out there to know that like surgery is an option. If you've struggled with your weight for a long time, like surgery is an option. And I want to be as open and honest about the whole process as I can be so I can be a resource for people. Two, I am not going to look at it as a diet because that is what I have done my entire life and it has done no good for me whatsoever. So I am going to look at it as a lifestyle. I am not going to be psycho. I'm not going to weigh myself all the time. I'm just going to try and enjoy the process. And three, I know that there are going to be times where I'm going to stall and not lose weight. And I am not going to let myself get in my head about it. I'm just going to continue to keep going. Like, those were the main things that I wanted to have focus on, you know, throughout the process. Like, before I even had surgery, I said this to myself, like, this is what we're doing. It's going to be good. I'm going to look at this in an entirely new way. And it has been amazing for me. Like, my headspace is great. Like, obviously I'm struggling with the normal things like transfer addiction and trying to like be social and things like that. But I feel like I've done a really great job of, you know, not getting so crazy psycho obsessed with the scale and with the numbers and just trying to like love the process, you know, and enjoy it and have fun. So
well, when I was struggling with the same things that you're struggling, Katie, about on your timeline, I really came up with this phrase of space and grace, right? I needed to give myself space, right? Like, okay, I need space from diet culture. I need space from this guilt. And then I also need the grace to know that I'm normal. There's nothing wrong with me, that I lived a life a certain way for 30 something years. And I can't expect that life to just instantly change because I've had surgery, right? So I need the grace to know that I have a lot of learning to do and a lot of growing to do. But I also can take space from these things that are not serving me right now. Diet culture, weighing myself, food guilt, all those things, they weren't actually serving me. Whereas, you know, we really need to remind ourselves about, we did the surgery to live life differently. And all of those old thoughts are actually part of our old life. And that was like our bread and butter back in the day. That was how we kept ourselves in that cycle of shame. And we want out of that. And we did, like you said, we did not have weight loss surgery to live our lives as we did before. We had weight loss surgery to live a completely different life. And you are really taking the steps, you know, to do that. And, you know, it's important that we have these conversations and we recognize what we're doing so that we can just verbalize it and get it out and say, okay,
yeah,
this is where I'm struggling, but here are the things that I'm going to try to live differently. And you've got a great community. You have a great support network. You're, you know, accessing a therapist. You're doing all of those things to really understand and then move on from them, which is not easy. And it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
And something that you've actually helped me a lot with this, April, because, you know, you have said on your stories that like, you're 2 years out and you're still seeing changes. And like, I think that's the part that a lot of us struggle with, is we feel like we have this time frame to lose this bulk amount of weight. We have a year after surgery and then we're done, you know? And like, that's, I think that's what scares people, is that they compare their journeys to other people who like, oh, I lost 120 pounds in the first year and blah, blah, blah. And they don't realize that like, you will continue to see changes, you know, as your body adjusts over time. And, and so I think that's like, that's also where I've been getting caught up with like this food guilt and things like that, because I'm so worried, like I have this, you know, I have 12 months to really like dig deep. And so like, I struggle with that, but like knowing that, like seeing people, and I think like another part of this, sorry, I have a lot of ideas that are just like spinning out right now.
We have a podcast, so.
I know, all the ideas. But another thing that I just thought of is, you know, I feel like sharing our weight loss journeys via Instagram or TikTok or whatever, like people who have had weight loss surgery, like, and they are in their maintenance stage, I feel like sometimes they feel like they don't have as much to share because, you know, they're not seeing those drastic before and afters anymore. But the thing is it's so important to have those people in our community sharing their stories, because they are helping people like us realize that like, no, like the race is not over. Like this is a lifelong thing. And like time, you're like, you have time. Like you just need to understand, like you're building these habits now for your future, and this is what your future can look like. And so it's so important to have those people in our community as well.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And a lot of us we've never lived a maintenance stage. So we don't know what the hell
that's
like. We've always been trending upwards on the scale or in the diet or whatever it may be. And we don't know what it looks like to maintain something like that. So yeah, we definitely, that's very important to have those people in our life to know what they do in a day.
Yep. We hosted a bunch of people, our you know, oldest, closest friend group here at the lake this weekend. And my friend was like, you know, are you still losing weight? Because you look like you're losing weight. And I was like, girl, I have not lost an ounce in months. I have stayed at my number for a very long time, but things are still shifting. I have gone from, in the past 6 months, I've gone from a 16, a small 16 to a solid 12, and I have not lost a single ounce, not one.
That's wild. That's insane.
Insane, because people see pictures of me and they're like, you have got to still be losing weight. And I'm like, I'm not, I absolutely am not. And I can't explain why, but what I can tell you is that I continue to do what my doctor has prescribed. I hit my protein goals, I hit my vitamins, I hit my water. I try to make movement, not crazy movement, like I walk my ass more than I normally do. I'm not doing anything like extravagant, but I am staying the course. And what I am doing is what you and I, and I know that Jason practices when I'm on vacation. I look for the healthiest options. I decline bread on a sandwich. I just do some things that feel right to me. But then I'm going to make myself some flag cake and I'm going to enjoy a piece of that, right? Yes. Or I'm going to have some drinks and I'm going to make sure that I get in some water, right? So I'm not doing anything like crazy ridiculous, but I'm making different choices in the moment. And again, one of my girlfriends that was here today, she's like, you know, how are you doing this maintenance thing? Because I'm really struggling in the summer. And I said, honestly, I look for my easy wins. I love a sandwich, but I know I can also wrap it in lettuce or I can just have chicken salad and that's not going to like kill me. So I'm going to make that choice so that I can have a drink or two or three or four, right? Or I'm going to make a different choice that I can have a s'mores bar. So I'm going to opt for, you know, fruit and I'm going to opt for a single egg and I'm going to keep a very light lunch and then I'm going to enjoy this. So I'm still doing some mental math, but it's not like... Yeah. Anything extravagant. It's like, hey, I really know I want to enjoy that. Okay, cool. So I'm going to make these different choices throughout the day. So then I don't feel guilty about whatever I am indulging because I also know I'm not going to have this until next summer again. I have flag cake one time a year. One time. Yeah. Why am I feeling bad about that? It's ridiculous.
People get so caught up in the perfection of it all. They think that they have to nail it every time out and that there's no learning curve and that you're just supposed to know and just go out and be a perfect bariatric patient. Well, I'll be the first one to sit here and tell you, there's no such thing as a perfect bariatric patient. There's just not. Because there is a learning curve. You have to learn how to live with your new body. Mm-hmm. You have to learn how to live with all this, you know, that's what that honeymoon phase is for, is so you can trip and fall and get back up and learn how to do it so that once, you know, you may not have gone on vacation in years. So the new, you know, post-surgery you doesn't know how to go on vacation and do those things. So there is going to be a little bit of mental gymnastics and mental math involved in that. And if you don't, you know, it's going to take a time or two before you kind of get into that, like April said, pick your easy wins. That's not going to come the first time you go on vacation. You're going to have to think about it a little bit. So, you know, that's where space and grace comes back in. Give yourself a little bit of room to make some mistakes because it's going to happen as you're learning how to be the new you on vacation, off vacation, on a trip, you know, whatever it may be. There's differences in everything.
Plus it's like, it's life. Like what I was saying, like, this isn't a diet. Like, this is your new life. And so like, that's what I mean by saying, like, you can't get caught up in the mind, you know, mindset of it all the time, because like, you're just trying to live your life. And you know, that's such a big part of it.
Girl. And the other thing too, and I would say, Jason, we are, all three of us are the perfect bariatric patient. And here's why. We are figuring out what works for us. We're not being afraid to try new things. We're not being afraid to have these hard conversations with ourselves and others. We're not afraid to seek out the support that we need. We're not afraid to go, oh, whoa, this doesn't feel right. Why do I not feel right? We are the perfect bariatric patient. Like, bullshit. We are kings and queens here. I'm going to brush both shoulders off for that one.
Okay. I'll cheers to that.
That's true. let me adjust that statement. So, the perfect bariatric patient is the one who knows all the things and seeks all the help we need. So,
yes, let's cheers our greens.
Cheers, friends. You know, and the other thing that I want to point out, and I know that Jason has experienced this as well, but we are living the life that we were always hoped that we could, but our weight either kept us from doing so physically or it was all in our head. But the fact, Katie, that you are now traveling now and you really don't think twice about it, you have met all these new people, your social circle is expanding, right? Like, you are doing life the way that you wanted to do. So
I swear, yes, it is so wild. Like, when we were on the boat on Saturday, I remember, like, I just like, I was in my feels a lot because, you know, we were taking pictures and partying up and like with all these strangers and just like all these guys. And it's like, I mean, I'm married, obviously. So like, I don't really care, but still, like, I would never in a million years be in a two piece, like a bikini or whatever in front of like all these strangers, like willingly. Like, I would either have some sort of a cover up on or whatever, you know? And like, I just like, I gave no fucks. I was like, I am living life. Let's party it up. Like, this is what I am supposed to be doing. Like, this is how I'm supposed to be living my life, is I'm supposed to be enjoying it and having fun. And it felt so good. It was so freeing to be able to just enjoy it and live in the moment and have fun and not be constantly worried about what I look like and like being insecure. Like, it's such a buzzkill when you're just insecure the whole time. Like, it's so wild. Like, I posted a picture on my Instagram and I was talking about how I was wearing like a funny shirt that had like a bikini body on or whatever. And I put on there, I was like, 2021 has been the best year yet because I've had so much fun and I've just been living it up. And I just truly feel like this surgery has given me my life back. Like, it's so crazy, but it's so true.
Hey guys, it's April. I don't know if you know this, but Gather Juice Company was our first podcast sponsor. And for good reason. They make some bomb ass juices. My absolute favorite is the Sunrise and the Pineapple Express. Night Vision and Goldilocks come in a real close third and fourth. I also very much enjoy their smoothies. Pina Colada, top of my list. If you live locally in the Tacoma area, swing by their 6th Avenue location and try it for yourself. You're going to be hooked. Big shout out to Gather Juice. Thank you for your sponsorship.
It is. You really don't realize how much the weight was holding back or keeping back mm-hmm. or preventing, either real or fictitious, right? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's the fact that excess weight that we were carrying really was preventing us from living our fullest life, right? Maybe not our best life, but our fullest life. And I was just talking about this with my girlfriends this weekend. I said, you know, I look at people who are struggling with their weight and there's no judgment, there's no anything, but I just want to run up to them and go, you know, there, if you want to live a fuller life, there is a solution and it's bariatric surgery. I just want to like run. I feel like sometimes like a cult person that's like, oh, have you heard about this religious cult? Have you heard about bariatric surgery? Right? I mean, it's like, oh my God.
I did it yesterday. Me and my son were out at an outside event, and I saw this. It was 111 degrees outside. We were in the middle of a field, and this dude was struggling. I'm talking about he was about my height, and he easily weighed, he clocked in about my same high weight, 468 or higher. And I'm talking about my man was having a hard time. And I just wanted to be like, but I was just, and I felt the same thing. Cause I was like, dude, I really want to tell this dude, like show him a picture and be like, bro, this used to be me. Like I used to be you. Come on, man. Like,
but then you don't want to be offensive and like hurt his feelings.
I was like, cause I feel bad. Cause I thought my man's just trying to live his life. But I'm like, damn, dude. Like,
I have the solution for you.
Yes.
You're like a weight loss surgery infomercial. Are you struggling?
I was like, you know, when people come up to you, it's like, have you found Jesus? I want to be like, have you found bariatric surgery?
Have you found WLS? Because let me tell you how that has changed my life.
Yes.
Oh my God. We need to make those little cards with like us.
Hand them out.
We can look holy.
Have you seen the light?
We are the patron saints of bariatric surgery.
Oh my God, so funny.
You should come to one of our free sessions.
We have meetups every week. You can join their virtual. Join the club.
Oh my God. I think we're on to something. Oh my God.
We have to get hooded robes for the next meetup.
Welcome to the inner circle. We're here to give you your life back. Oh, I cannot.
Oh my God, you guys, my freaking cheeks hurt.
I know. I do.
Oh my God.
All right.
Okay, we got that. We still have way more to talk about. Sweet Jesus.
Yeah, we do.
Okay, so you maybe let's switch gears a little bit. So you've been in Tennessee. Well, you were with us for the 4th, then you went to Tennessee. There has been a lot of partying involved. I mean, just flat out, a lot of partying. All right. Yes. So how have you kind of, or have you figured out your groove when it comes to partying, and how are you approaching the party life with the bariatric life?
Yeah. So this is a topic. Let me tell you, I was just sharing on my Instagram stories a little bit this morning, like just going over it, because like when I get lit, you know, like I try to like post on my stories, but I'm just in the moment, you know, vibing. Yeah. So I've been a little MIA for my story. So I kind of wanted to tell people like what it's been like, you know, because I get questions all the time about like drinking and like how much I can handle and what it's like, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I'm 6 months out now, which means I, you know, carbonation does not bother me. You know, that's a toss up. Everybody's different. I started drinking carbonation literally like, I think I was like 2 months out, but like, I love carbonation. And that is something that has been very difficult for me to give up. Mm-hmm. I was a huge soda drinker and like, I just love the feeling of carbonation. Like, I don't know what it is, but when it hits the back of your throat, it is refreshing as hell. So I kind of wanted to start easing that back in. Like, not that I really want to get back on like the soda train and drinking pop. Like that's like, I really do not want to get back on that, but like carbonated water, you know, a lot of drinks that I love, like alcoholic drinks have carbonation, and I want to be able to enjoy those like at social events. So, I kind of started taking little sips, and like it, you know, you get a little burpy at first, but like the more you drink carbonation, the less it affects you. So at this point, it does not bother me at all. I love it. I love it. But especially like alcoholic drinks, like their carbonation is a little bit different than like soda. It's not quite as carbonated, so like it's a little bit easier to get down. So anyways, so my drink of choice, I've tried a few things. Beer just sits a little heavy for me. I really wasn't a big beer drinker to begin with. I would get beer at the bars because it was the easiest thing to get free from men, because it was cheap. So, you know, so that's, you know, why I drank beer before. But now I've discovered my favorite drink, and it is the Truly lemonades. Like, those are my jam. I'm like, they're a little bit sweeter than like White Claws or like the regular Truly seltzers. And I'm not a big alcohol like taste person. Like, I just don't really like the taste of it. No. So having a little extra sweetness in there without the added like sugars, like, has been very helpful. So Truly lemonades, I get the variety pack. It's like the black cherry, strawberry lemonade, mango lemonade, they're all great. So that's what I've been drinking at my social events. That I like to find something, I stick with it. Like, you know, I don't know. That's just how I've always been. Plus I know how it affects me. I know how I feel. And so I feel like that just like works better for me. But something that I shared also on my stories is that like, I'm just not a huge drinker in general. Like, I prefer to smoke weed. And the reason for that is because, well, number one, I don't really love the taste of alcohol, but it's heavy. And like, you know, especially after surgery, yes, you start feeling buzz a lot quicker, but you also sober up so much quicker. And so then it's like, you're trying to keep up with like everybody who's day drinking and having a good time and like making it last. And then you're constantly having to drink more and more because like, you're sobering up so quick. Yeah. And like, I hate that. Like, that is not like, I don't want, it's nice when you're out with friends and like, you know, you need to drive home later, like, you know, you're going to be fine. And so you don't stress about it. But when you're trying to like have a good time and like make that buzz last, like, that part sucks. And so that's why like I have kind of turned to weed, because you feel a little bit longer. You're not having to fill your stomach up with all this liquid that's just like sitting so heavy. You're not running to the bathroom every 5 minutes because you have to pee. Like, it's just, you feel good. The only downside is I get the munchies really bad. So, which is a problem, which is why I ate so much flag cake. But it's fun. But like, so one of the things that I struggled with a lot on this trip, like, this is the first time that I've actually been on a trip without another bariatric patient there. Like, you know, all the trips I've taken, I've had bariatric friends. And so we all are kind of on the same wavelength, same vibe. This was completely different. I was the only one there who had had bariatric surgery. I'm only 6 months out. So like, I still, like, I can't drink with my meals. And so Saturday night, we were just having fun at the house. We had been at the lake all day. And so we were just drinking, partying up. We ordered pizza. And, you know, we were eating pizza and then everybody was like, let's play flip cup. And like, I couldn't do it. Like I couldn't. And I was bummed. I felt like so lame just like sitting out. But like, I told them, I was like, you guys, like I physically cannot, I'm not trying to be a buzzkill, but like it will be bad if I drink right now. And with flip cup, it's not like you're taking a few sips, like you are chugging and then trying to flip your cup. So like, there's no easy way to do that. Yes. So I sat out and then, you know, we did like a round two of pizza. So I had like half pizza. And then everybody's like, all right, let's take a shot, you know? And so I was like, okay, I could probably do a shot. I'm not sitting there chugging. I'm just downing one, you know, one shot. It'll be fine. Yeah. Well, I'm stupid. And I know that like, I hate the taste of vodka or anything plain. So I have to have a chaser, which I usually chug at the end of my shot. And I didn't think about that. And so they were passing the bottle. I took my shot and then I was like chugging cranberry juice. And after that, I was like, oh no, why did I do that? Why did I do that? This is bad. This is bad. And I mean, I'm not kidding you. And within the next 5 minutes, I had chest pain. I literally was like, I'm dying. Like, I'm dying. I'm not going to make it through. Like, call an ambulance. Like, I'm not well. I am not well. So like, I was like leaning over, we were on the rooftop of our like little Airbnb. And so I was like leaning over the edge. I'm like, oh my God. So one of the girls was like, okay, let's go to the bathroom. Let's see if we can puke, you know, blah, blah, blah. I could not throw up. It just felt, it's not like it, I was feeling sick. It was stuck. You know, when like you just have that stuck feeling, yeah. Like that's what it felt like. And I was just like hard to breathe. So I was just concentrating on my breathing. I was sitting by the toilet, but I was just like trying to just like get it down. And then within 10 minutes I was fine. Yeah. But it's just like that. And then I came back up and I told Shelby, like who was the bride, I was like, this is why, I was like, I'm telling you, this is why I can't drink with my meals. I promise I'm not trying to be dramatic, but like, no. This is the reality. And she was like, oh my God, that's intense. I was like, yeah, very intense. Yes. And so I overdid it, but I am proud to say that is the only time that I overdid it on the weekend. I really did a good job of like kind of keeping in that mental space. Like, okay, like I just ate, like let's chill for a little bit, you know, like it'll be fine. I'll just smoke my vape, like, you know, that'll keep me social. But yeah, so like, it is hard. It's hard because it's like, sometimes like you're not going to be able to do all the things that everybody wants to do, and it's okay. Like it is what it is, but you have to understand that like, you can't get down on yourself about it and let it ruin your night. Like, you just got to vibe and go with it. And like, if you can't play flip cup, go to the table and cheer them on, you know, like find ways to like get involved, but you know, to still have fun. And so like, but it is hard. It is hard not being able to totally participate, you know? And I know that's not going to be that way the whole time. Like, I know, like, I think April, you've told me do you drink with your meals now?
No.
Oh, you still don't? See, Maddie does. And she's like 2-3 years out and she does. So like, have you just decided that you don't want to, or like, is it still tough for you? Like, what's your reasoning behind it? How's that gone for you?
Yeah, it's kind of both. You know, for me, that's an easy win that I can rack up throughout my day, right? I know that it's not good. I know that drinking while I eat now is going to expand my stomach so that I can consume more. So I just opt to not. And I guess every now and then I will have a sip of it. But for me, it's like, you know, that's an easy win that I can take. I'm over eating and drinking at the same time. So I am good with that.
Because it expands your stomach while you eat? I didn't know that happened.
Yes.
Kind of a couple of different things to it. It can expand your stomach while you eat. It also flushes your pouch out more so you don't get to actually to take in all the nutrients of the stuff.
And you don't get as full. Okay.
Right.
Yep.
So with the pouch flushing out part of it, you know, you need the essential, you know, you may be eating however many grams of protein, but you're not going to get all that protein, and you're not going to get any of the vitamins from what you're eating because it's just going to wash out.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Interesting. I did not know that. Like, I know, because I've talked to several people who are a couple years out and they drink with their meals, but like, I didn't know that that was like a choice you could make, I guess. Like, I don't know. I just didn't really realize. I thought it was just something that would come normally.
Yeah.
I can. That's kind of one of the things about how my whole thing has gone. Like, I've gotten zero restrictions for pretty much anything, and I can eat and drink with it if I needed to. Like April said, if something gets caught, like, I'll take a little drink if I didn't chew enough. And,
okay.
You know, that way. But I'm not a hard and fast 30 minutes. Like, sometimes I can go 20 minutes and I'll take, I'll drink like that. But it's not anything where I'm just like set the clock and be like, oh, it's 30 minutes now, I can have a sip. Like, I don't
want to
go that hard at it. But yeah, for the most part, I'll clock it around there, because when I'm working, I don't really pay enough attention, and I'll go way over the 30 minute time limit because I'll just be working and I think about it and be like, oh, wait, I can do that.
Yeah.
And Katie, I've had the same experience that you have. I've done too much too soon. And my body literally is like, bitch, you need to slow your roll, right? I mean, your body's what are you doing? Like,
yeah, and it's scary. It is scary in the moment. Yeah.
You know, and what I've really found too is that I very much enjoy partying. I do it less than I have ever done it in my life. But what's really helped me is that I usually only choose to party with people that I know very well, because I just don't want to explain myself about why I'm maybe not partying the same as everybody else. But my friend group, I mean, you, all my close friends, right? We can have those conversations about, look, I have to do this differently now. So I'm going to decline X, Y, and Z, but I'm going to be there. I'm going to cheer on. I'm going to still be a part of it, but please don't offer me this. And if I decline, you just have to acknowledge.
Yeah, don't like peer pressure. Don't be upset. The peer pressure is hard, especially with like younger groups who are like, yeah, shot. You know, it's hard, but you just have to have that confidence in yourself to know like, nope, like I don't need it. But like, you know, like you have to be able to like stand your ground and just say like, nope, I'm good, you know, but not let it ruin the time. You don't want it to cause drama. No. Just be like, nope, I'm good. Like, but like, I'm here for it. If you guys want to, you know, like you just have to, you can't let it ruin your time.
No, absolutely not. And you know, and it's one of those things where you're allowed to put yourself first while having a good time, right? You always can come first and the party can come second, because you are the most important piece to that party. So if you're not doing well, if you're not good, then the party's not good. So where would you put yourself behind the party? I mean, no. And again, that's a mindset shift that we have to make, right? Mm-hmm. And only we know ourselves. And again, that weight was keeping our self-awareness down. And now that the weight is gone, we are so self-aware of what our body's doing, and what happens when we consume certain things. We need to use our brain power now to go, how am I going to have the best party here? Oh, I need to make sure that I'm doing X, Y, and Z. Perfect. Like, possible.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, you know, that kind of speaks to me, like from my standpoint, I've never drank or done any of that ever. So, but I've been to plenty of parties and things like that where all of that's going on. And that has come up, you know, hey, take this shot. Like, no, I don't drink. And then you get to, why, you know, why don't you do? I wish my mother would have drank. And then you get the whole thing about it. And you're like, no, man, that's okay. You do you, I'm going to do me. Like, I've never been thrown out of a party because I want to drink something. I don't think you have to worry about that side. But at the same time, like you said, as long as you keep the energy up with your response and don't make it some judgmental like situation where you're like, I wouldn't do that, but you go ahead if you want to.
Like you can't have that like I'm on a pedestal energy. Like we don't, that's not what this is about.
That's the thing. As long as you bring the right energy with it, I don't think it's going to be an issue. But
why I like to smoke weed, because like you're just vibing, you know, like you're still feeling good. It takes that like, you know, it takes the like, I don't know, awkwardness out. So like, you know, you can just be like, yeah, no, you do it. Like, you know, like, I don't know.
Yep. No, I mean, I'm very much of the, you know, I don't have a problem with alcohol. I know some people do. I don't have a problem with drugs. I know some people do. So I'm not saying that this is the solution for everybody, but you know, I enjoy feeling different every now and then. And to know that I can feel different in a safe way, surrounded by people that I trust, is good. Now, if I was all of a sudden relying on those things daily to get through, that's something different.
Yeah, I was just about to say, like, I see how alcohol and drugs can become a transfer addiction. Like it is you know, you're feeling good, you're enjoying it, it feels good, you know, you're feeling different because you're confident and you're having fun. And so like it, you really do have to have a good mindset around it and know like, this is not an everyday thing. Like this is just enjoying the moment, but like it, I can see how that can be a problem. And it is, it's such a huge transfer addiction problem in the bariatric community.
Well, and you've actually been struggling with a different type of transfer addiction, right? You've kind of recognized. So what have you noticed? What do you feel that you are transferring your food addiction to?
Shopping. And like, I've always loved shopping. Like I've always, it's so funny how like opposite my husband and I are. Like he gets so stressed out to spend money and I'm like, yes, like it gives me so much joy, which is awful. But like here recently, I don't know. I think it's like, it's weird. Like I'm working with my therapist to try to figure out like why I'm wanting to spend so much money. And like, I don't know if it's because like, I can't indulge with like food the way that I used to, or if it's because like, you know, I think like those who've like follow my Instagram know, like I've been wanting to move for a really long time. And like, I'm just not happy where we're living, but we've been waiting for, you know, a good apartment to open up or whatever. We wanted to buy a house, but obviously with the way that the market is right now, like that's just like not going to happen. And that was like our goal for 2021 was to buy a house. So like, that's been a big thing that I've been like, oh, it's not going to happen. Like we need to figure out a new solution. And so I've been stressed about that too. And so like, I find myself like online shopping, like buying things because it makes me feel good in the moment. It like takes away that like frustration that I'm not where I want to be, like literally like physically with my, you know, environment and things like that. So I'm like, oh, I'll just buy more things that are pretty to look at, you know, and that makes me feel good. And it's frustrating though. And it's a problem. And I'm just like noticing like, okay, we are struggling to pay our bills. And like, there's no reason, like we make enough money to pay our bills. Why are we struggling with this? It's because I am spending way too much money. And like, we went on vacation when we were on vacation with you guys in Washington, like we got back. I mean, the coffee table was like, my brother-in-law came over to like check on the dog and stuff. And so like the coffee table was just full of packages for me. And I was like, that's when I realized, I was like, okay, something's gotta change. Like, this is not okay. And like, Eric was like, babe, I was like, I know, like I am aware I'm going to therapy, like this is not good. And so like I laugh about it, but it's also like, shit, like this is not okay, like I've got to get this figured out. So that is something that I'm working on. It is hard, it's hard because like clothes fit different now and it's fun to like try new styles and all of that, but also I'm not done losing weight. There's no reason I need to be spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars on clothes I'm not going to be able to wear in 3 months. Like there's no reason for it. So I'm really trying hard to like talk to my therapist about it and figure out, okay, how can we combat this? Like, what can I put my energy into? Yeah. So something that I've talked to you about it too, April, but like just some other people about, instead of, you know, when I see something that I want and I'm like adding it to my cart, instead of buying it, I'm going to take whatever that amount was and I'm going to put it into a savings account, or I'm going to put it towards a credit card or something, you know what I mean? And I'm trying so hard to like switch my addiction to like saving instead of spending. And so that's still very new for me, especially, and it's hard right now, especially because I've got all these things going on, like events and stuff. Like I have to spend money, like at a bachelorette party, like we're eating out, we're taking Ubers, like I have to be able to like spend some money there. But when it comes to like physically shopping for things, like material things that like I don't need, that's where I'm trying to like focus my energy. It is hard, but I think it will be a really good thing for me to be able to do that.
I agree. And don't feel shame or guilt around this. This is like the number one transfer addiction in women, especially, and in men. So the number one transfer addiction after bariatric surgery is alcohol. And then for women, the number two is shopping. The number two for men is sex. And then men get to shopping at number three. So this isn't
interesting. I didn't know that. I didn't know that like there were rankings. Like, I knew that these were the top three, but I didn't know that there were actual rankings. That's interesting.
Yes. Yes, right. Because alcohol is number one, because we are, almost everybody has alcohol in your home. So it's a very quick, like, oh, I can do this right away.
Yeah.
And now because of online shopping, it is shopping. And, yeah. You know, and even Jason struggled with this. So this isn't something that's just like unique to women. So don't think that this is like you. This is just unique to humans, number one. And then especially bariatric patients, because we are so desperate to get out of our feelings. We're so used to saying, I'm uncomfortable, I'm going to automatically eat. Now all of a sudden we can't do that. So, oh my God, I need to do something else. And what we learned from Laura Grabo and from Wendy Rawlings is that we can't just expect to not have a coping mechanism. So we can't just say, well, I'm not going to just do this anymore. That's just not how it works. We need to slowly replace that vice or that coping mechanism with something that is healthy for us. And that takes time to figure out. So also don't feel bad that it's like, oh, I recognize I have a problem. Boom, I'm going to instantly switch it. No. It takes practice. Yeah.
I appreciate you saying that, because like, I've had a lot of guilt about it lately. Like, I've been very hard on myself and very like, why are you doing this? Like, you're stupid. Like, stop. Like, why are you doing it? But the reality is, like, it is a common problem and it's not going to like be changed overnight. And so like, I appreciate you saying that, because like, I've never really had, like, addiction is real, but like, I've never really struggled with something like this before. So this is very new for me.
Well, you did struggle with it, but you just didn't recognize it. You struggled.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, no.
That's true. See, I don't even realize it. Like, I don't even, that's wild.
But what's different, Katie, is that you recognize it and you want to do it differently. That's what's different.
Yeah.
And we know that change is very uncomfortable. So you are experiencing discomfort on two levels. Number one, you're recognizing that, like, oh God, something is really not good. And I'm trying to figure this out. So that's uncomfortable, number one. And then uncomfortable, number two, is your brain is going, but you're solving this in a way that also isn't helpful. You have two very discomforting things that are like running parallel.
Yeah.
And then you're like, why can't I figure this out? And it's because you are stuck between these guardrails of discomfort. And every time you try to do something, you're bumping up against something that's uncomfortable. So no wonder you want to get out of that. You want to feel free again. Well, being free before was doing something that wasn't healthy for you. And now you recognize, oh my God, that was not actually healthy. So you were living in this like bubble of discomfort and ickiness, trying to find your way out of it. And you're doing, again, welcome to the work of weight loss surgery.
The thing about it is part of that discomfort comes from, you know, once you're, the feeling you get from shopping helps bring you out of the discomfort, because not only are you able to buy things you've never been able to buy before, they're cute, they're in style, it's summer, you get inundated with all of the new looks, all the hot takes, all the things that you need, and so you start grabbing those, and the more they fit, the better you feel, the more you want to get of that, and that pulls you out of that feeling of discomfort. But at the same time, it's temporary until, like you said, when you come home and the weight of all the packages being on the table, you're like, oh shit. And then you start looking at the bills and the accounts and you're like, oh, I'm not very good at math, but this isn't that much. And then, you know, the more you start to look at it, it's like, oh, you know, this, you know, I got to pull the ripcord. The difference, like Echo said, is not only did you notice it and speak on changing it, you actually spoke to your therapist about it. So you put into, you came up with a plan and put it into action very swiftly, whereas before you would have ate your way through it. And
yeah, so that's true. These
are huge monumental changes that you've made in a short amount of time.
Thank you. That makes me feel so much better. Like, just recognizing that, like, yes, I know that I have a problem, but I'm also like working to change it. Like, I know it's not okay. And like, I don't want this to become an ongoing issue. Like, I want to nip it in the bud. So,
well, and just the fact, you know, the first time, Katie, that you do this new thing that you're going to try, this new coping mechanism, right? So let's say you are going to try the budgeting thing. Okay, I was going to spend $50 at Shan or whatever. Okay, and I'm not going to do that. I'm transferring the money and I'm closing my computer and I'm walking away. Just do it one time. And then really notice, it's going to feel really icky at first. And then all of a sudden you're going to go, okay, but I don't feel any guilt about this. And I really wanted to buy those clothes because I was feeling inadequate, or I compared myself on Instagram, or I saw somebody and they didn't compliment me on my weight loss. Oh, that's what was driving that. Yeah. Okay, right? And then the next time you're in the moment, you might make the old decision and you might make the new decision. But every time that you encounter this, you are going to feel more empowered to make a decision. And that's really where you want to get to. It's not that you will never online shop again. You're going to buy clothes. You need to clothe your body. And pretty soon your underwear are going to fall off and you're going to need new underwear, right?
Already there.
So we're not saying you're never going to do that again. What we're saying is that soon you will have a much more clear choice, or that choice is going to become not guilt ridden, right? You're going to make an online purchase and there's going to be no guilt with that. And that's really how you know it. In our conversation with Wendy, it was so powerful for me to learn, when is something that I'm doing becoming a vice? And we know that it's a vice. We know that it's a crutch. We know that it's a, we're transferring our addiction when we feel guilt, shame, or remorse after we've done that action. That's how we know we're using it in a manner that it was not intended for. So if you make a purchase, you eat something, you drink something, you do something, and then afterwards you go, ooh, I do not feel great about that. That's how you know I was using that for something it was not intended for, right? So if you buy something and you're like, oh, well, I actually needed new underwear, there's no guilt with that. Yeah. Perfect. You needed new underwear and you bought new underwear and good job. So yeah.
Sometimes it just takes removing yourself from that situation after you've made the choice for you to kind of process the thoughts of what's going on.
Yeah.
If you make the transfer to the bank account, you have to kind of remove yourself from the area, just kind of process through what you've done.
Yeah.
And then like April said, you know, the farther on you get, the easier those decisions will be.
Yeah.
And one thing that I actually did was, online boutiques are really like my downfall. Like that is a trigger for me. Like, because I love online boutiques. I love that they have items.
They're so cute.
And it's not like going to a big box store where they have 20 items on the rack that everybody's going to buy. Like you kind of feel like you stand out a little bit. You have something a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And I actually went on my phone and I deleted my apps for these online boutiques because like I knew like I know I'm going to shop at Target still because that's where I get a lot of essential things and I can do quick, like easy, like drive up pickup or whatever. So like, I'm like, I'm not going to get rid of that. Like I know like Ulta, I don't really shop online for Ulta unless there's like something that I need or I'm running out of. So that wasn't really a trigger for me. I kept Victoria's Secret because that's what I used to pay my credit card bill. I don't really shop online at Victoria's Secret anymore. I don't really shop there anymore anyways, but I knew that like this app, like this, there's a specific one where I get so many outfits. It's so cute, but they literally do new releases every single day. And so it's like, you're dragged into looking at the app every single day and it is a problem. And like, so I had to delete it because I was like, I know getting rid of this, like this is something like this is clothes. This is purses. This is accessories. I know that I'm not going to buy anything essential from this place. And when I get to a point where I am in maintenance and I am ready to buy things that fit me, that I know that I'm going to be able to wear for a while, then I will re-download it and I will pick out some cute things. But like, I do not need that right now. So like, I was really proud of myself for deleting that because that was like a first step for me. I was like, nope, we are getting rid of that because I do not need that.
good for you.
That's
the power of your learning. That's how you're growing as an individual. And you're just being responsible with your choices. Again, it goes back to choices. And when you know that you can responsibly have that app on your phone and not bust through your budget, then awesome. Welcome to your new normal. And I really, you know, for me, the power of transferring that money to a savings account means that when I'm ready to shop, I've got a big wad of cash that I can spend however I want to spend. And to me, that feels much more freeing than always being worried and afraid about spend too much. Yeah, no, I mean, you're taking control of your choices and that is powerful. That is powerful.
Yeah.
Oh, girl, this has been an amazing conversation. As
I know, so many things.
Nothing new there. So, but you know, we always love to give our guests kind of the floor at the end of our episode. Is there anything that you want to share with people? Is there anything that you felt left unsaid? What's kind of your final word?
I think I just want to say that this like having weight loss surgery, especially the first year post-op, is a learning experience. And it's not something that none of us know how to do it. You know, like we are all very new. It's new. You're going to learn and you're going to make mistakes. But the biggest thing you can do is to give yourself grace and talk to people. Talk to people who are going through the same things as you. Like find community to rely on and be, you know, there for each other so you can help each other through this. Like get a therapist if you need to. Like I guess like I've been beating myself up about all the things that I've been struggling with, and it helps to, like, even just having this conversation today has helped me realize that I'm not alone and that these are all things that we all struggle with. And so it's so important to be able to recognize that and lean on those people.
Girl, we love it. Right. And the great thing about this community is that, you know, I always envision, I'm a very visual person. I always envision like I'm carrying around these big, heavy bags of shame. And then when you realize that, like, wait a minute, I don't have to be carrying these because,
yeah.
Right. I mean, it's just like the community helps you just drop that. It's like, yeah, that shame is so weighty. It is so unhelpful. And yet I've been carrying it around for no reason. I mean, it's just like,
yeah.
Drop the bags, hook up with the community, find your support, and move on by learning about why you're doing things and try out new ways of dealing with it. You don't have to stick with something that you say, I'm going to try it. And if it doesn't work, try something else. Keep trying that on until you find the perfect thing and then move forward with that, which is exactly what you're doing. So well done, friend. Well done.
Yay.
Miss Katie, we so appreciate you and your time and your honesty and your willingness to share your journey with others. It's literally, like you said, it's how we let people know you're not alone. It's how we let people know that this community is a safe place to learn and grow and just experience life together. So thank you, friend.
Absolutely.
Jason, you want to take us out?
Yes, ma'am. Katie, thank you again. All your time you spend with us is better than the last time, every time. So we can't thank you enough for always being available and giving our community the best you have to offer. We appreciate that. If you like all the support that you are receiving, you have the ability to like, share, subscribe, leave ratings on all of your podcast players. You can leave ratings for us on YouTube as well. You can also anchor and leave voice messages that we can include into future podcast episodes. So we would appreciate those if you want to leave those. We love listener love that we get. Thank you guys always for supporting us, because we couldn't do what we do without you guys. And we just appreciate that so much. And April, what about the Patreon part of things?
Oh, yeah. If you would like to support us in a different way, we have a thriving patron community over on Patreon. Your monthly support literally helps us, like, keep the lights on, so to speak. It pays for Zoom, our website, the virtual bariatric meetups, all the support. So if you'd like to learn more, just head to patreon.com/East2WLS. And you can see all of the fabulous thank yous that we give our people that support us monthly.
That's right. And just remember, at the end of the day, you've got this, we've got you, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, Fred. Thanks, Katie.
Bye-bye.